November is a month for remembering. November starts with All Saints' Day, the 1st of November, when we remember the saints down the ages, both official saints and those unofficial saints, the people that we look to who inspire us. The following day, November the 2nd, is All Souls' Day, on which we remember loved ones who've died. And in this parish, we mark that event later this month when we have our memorial service. Then comes Bonfire Night, which we had at the start of this week, when we remember the 5th of November. And finally, we have Remembrance Day, a date that marks the end of the First World War, on which we remember all those who've died in wars and conflicts. And of course, today is particularly poignant as it's the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. November is a month for remembering. And I wonder what your memory is like. What's your earliest memory? What's the first thing that you can remember? What's your happiest memory? And can you remember what you had for breakfast yesterday? Probably not, by the way, that you're smiling. I can, because it was champagne for breakfast for me yesterday, because I was celebrating a friend's 50th birthday. I suspect we all have lots of good memories, but we probably have painful memories too. And many of us will understand the pain of losing memories, whether that's our own memories or watching a loved one slowly lose their memory. November is a month for remembering. And this morning we're invited to engage with those painful memories from the past. For 2 minutes, we will stand in silence as we remember some of the worst things that have happened in modern history. If you think about it, it's actually a very strange thing to do, as normally people try to avoid thinking about painful memories. In fact, there's a famous song from World War I that goes like this. Join in if you know it. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and... I can only remember those two lines. I suspect many of you know that that was a song that was sung to maintain morale among the troops and also amongst family as well. And the message of the song was pack away the painful memories, pack away your fears about the future, and get on with the job of being soldiers. So why today are we unpacking the painful memories from the past? Why aren't we just keeping them packed away and sticking a big smile on our faces like the song tells us to do? Well, I want to offer a few responses to that question about why we unpack painful memories. And the first reason that we remember is because it is important to lament. The word lament means to express grief or sorrow. And I have to say that during the 2 minute silence, I find it hard not to cry because I feel sad about the state of our world, past and present. I want to cry, but I can't because I'm stood at the front and I'm terribly professional and doing my job. But I want to cry because human life is precious and so many lives have been lost. You may be aware that on the 11th of November 1918, there were 5.5 hours between the signing of the armistice and the start of the ceasefire. In those 5.5 hours, 11,000 people were killed or wounded. What a tragic waste of life in what is effectively a gap for administration and communication. 11,000 people. Our reading from Lamentations, and notice that word lament is in there. It says this, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. If the 2 minute silence makes you feel sad, that is an appropriate response. That is what we are meant to feel because we are lamenting the past. But we can't stay in the place of lament. If we do, we'll be overwhelmed with fear and despair. Instead, we need hope. And I wonder, where do you put your hope? When you look at the world the way it is today, Where do you find your hope? Do our political leaders give you hope? That's not a resounding support. Do our young people give you hope? Do big ideas give you hope? Do grassroots actions give you hope? The other day, someone sent me a cartoon, and it's a cartoon that comes from a children's book, a horrible histories book called Frightful First World War. And in the cartoon, a girl is standing in front of a war memorial, a bit like this one, and the war memorial says Boer War, First World War, Second World War, Korean War, Malaya, Vietnam, Falklands War, Gulf War, and Bosnia. And the girl is pictured turning to her grandpa saying, "Grandpa, I forget. Which one was the war to end all wars?" Hope can be easily disappointed. And that was the reality after the First World War. They thought it was the war to end all wars, and yet hope is easily disappointed. Our reading from Lamentations says this, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning." And the place where I choose to put my hope is in the transforming power of God's love. And I choose to put it there because of Jesus, because Jesus demonstrated God's love through the non-violent offering of himself on the cross. And when he rose from the dead, he demonstrated the power of love over death. And the Bible tells us that the same power of love is at work in us and through us by his Holy Spirit. So I hope in love. I hope in God's love. And when I see small acts of peace and mercy and compassion and reconciliation, I see a glimpse of God. Which takes me to another point, that hope is only hope if it's expressed in action. For me, hope without action is just an empty promise. Part of the purpose of Remembrance Sunday is that we remember the reality and the cost of war so that we can avoid it ever happening again. Next year, to mark the 80th anniversary of the start of the Second World War, we're planning to install another war memorial here in church. That's our First World War memorial that was installed in 2014, and we want to put one here on the other side with the names of those from this parish who died in World War II. And I hope that that will be the last war memorial that we ever have to install in this parish. I never want to see a war memorial here with the name of my son on it, or with the name of my daughter on it, or with the name of any of these young people on that memorial. Which begs a question. What action do we have to take to ensure that it never happens again? As I was thinking about that question, I came across a story from the First World War that offered me the beginning of an answer, and it is only the beginning. And it's a story about a woman, which means I liked it even more, because I always like to hear about the role of women in history. During the First World War, there was a British nurse called Edith Cavell. Some of you may have heard of her. And she worked in German-occupied Belgium. And Edith cared for all soldiers, irrespective of their nationality. If someone was brought to her and they were wounded, she didn't ask whether they were the good guys or the bad guys. She took care of them. And she was widely criticized at the time because she looked after German and Austrian soldiers, and they were regarded as the enemy. But Edith also helped to smuggle Allied soldiers out of the hospital and across the border into Holland, which was neutral. And by doing that, she put her own life at risk, but she saved the lives of 200 men. When the Germans found out what Edith was doing, even though she was caring for their soldiers as well, she was arrested, tried, and found guilty of treason. And in October 1915, so really close to the beginning of the start of the war, she was executed by firing squad. A nurse was killed for doing her job. Edith was a Christian. Her dad was a Church of England vicar, same as me. And this is what she said just a day or so before her death. "Standing as I do in view of God and eternity, I realize that patriotism is not enough. I must have no hatred or bitterness for anyone. I must have no hatred or bitterness for anyone. As I look around the world today, I see a great deal of hatred and bitterness. I see things happening that remind me of the very things that we're remembering today. There's an increase in anti-Semitic violence. Just a couple of weeks ago, there was the attack on that synagogue in Pittsburgh. The rise of far-right political parties across Europe that just fill me with horror. And the use of propaganda, or as it's called these days, fake news, to manipulate people's thinking. The challenge of Remembrance Sunday is not just to remember and to lament, but to take action too. So one of the questions that we have to ask ourselves today is, how do we respond when we see hatred marring our world? Whether that's hatred outside a chicken shop in Bellingham where a 15-year-old was recently stabbed, whether that's hatred on a tasteless YouTube video that was released earlier this week mocking those who died in the Grenfell Tower fire, or whether that is hatred that's played out in the theatre of war. When I think about my own attitudes and actions, when I think about the way that I rant at the radio, I'm aware that it is easy to respond to hatred with yet more hatred. Earlier this week, I found myself in a discussion with a few people here about the difference between red poppies and white poppies. And for those who've not come across them, white poppies are ones that say peace on them. And I don't want to rehearse the discussion here, partly because it got very heated very quickly and we could have gone on for hours. But one of the messages behind the white poppy, when I went back at it to look at it again, is it says that violence often begets more violence, and that peace requires major social change to allow us to live more cooperatively. Hope is only hope if it's expressed in action, whether that's actions of individuals or whether that's actions at a global level that brings about social change. And interestingly, there's a similar idea in the second Bible reading that we heard from Isaiah. And it was a prophecy about what life is like when people live God's ways. It's a sort of way of saying, this is what the world could be like. It says, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Whatever color poppy you wear, that is the ultimate hope. That's the kind of world that we want to live in, isn't it? A world where people turn weapons into something that can be used for good. The total number of civilian and military casualties in World War I was 40 million, almost two-thirds of the population of this country. And today we gather together to remember. And the reason we remember is to lament, to grieve over the past, but also to look for signs of hope and to take action so that it never happens again. Amen.